Reinvention. This is the story of Joseph Phelps in Napa Valley, California. Written by Lisa Parati Brown for The Wine Palette. Joseph Phelps helped define what modern luxury Napa wine could become. Today, under LVMH's ownership, the estate sits at an inflection point, caught between legacy and reinvention, prestige and relevance, old Napa opulence, and a newer pursuit of freshness, precision, and ecological resilience. Joseph Phelps arrived in Napa Valley as an outsider. He was a construction magnate from Colorado who built bridges, dams, and infrastructure projects before building one of Napa Valley's most influential estates. His story is, in many ways, the story of Napa Valley itself. Ambition, experimentation, wealth, reinvention, and an unrelenting belief that the next vintage can always be better. According to the winery archives, Joseph Phelps first encountered the property that would become his Napa home in the early 1970s. There were no vineyards planted. As Phelps later recalled, "Not a grape on the property, lots of nice-looking cattle." That ranch on the east side of St. Helena would become one of Napa Valley's foundational modern estates. Phelps officially took possession in March 1973 and immediately began planting vineyards with founding winemaker Walter Shug. Napa Valley in the early 1970s was still rough around the edges. Cabernet Sauvignon had not yet become the valley's unquestioned monarch. Vineyard land was relatively cheap. Experimentation was common because nobody truly knew what California fine wine would become. Joseph Phelps planted broadly and aggressively Cabernet Sauvignon, Johannesburg Riesling, Gewürztraminer, Zinfandel, Pinot Noir, and Cabernet Franc. It reflected curiosity rather than formula. The winery's first release was the 1973 Johannesburg Riesling, sold in the fall of 1974. Joe focused on fruit from benchland soils and those on the east side of the valley for the aspect and the amount of sunlight they received. Elizabeth Phelps Newman, Joseph Phelps's granddaughter, informed me at a retrospective tasting last year. That instinct for sight would prove prescient. Long before benchland became Napa marketing shorthand, Phelps recognized the ripening advantages these soils could provide. The winery was completed in time for the 1974 harvest, designed by architect John Marsh Davis and built by Phelps's own construction company, Hensel Phelps. The operation was initially humble. There was no formal tasting room. Retail sales were conducted through a Dutch door at the reception. But what Joseph Phelps lacked in polish, he compensated for with vision. In 1974, he produced California's first varietally labeled Syrah, inspired by the wines of the Northern Rhone. At a time when Napa Valley was largely fixated on Bordeaux varieties, Phelps was already looking toward Côte Rôtie and Hermitage. Yet the same year, Phelps made the decision that would alter the course of Napa's history. He created Insignia. Today, proprietary Bordeaux-style blends are everywhere in Napa Valley. In 1974, the idea was radical. Rather than emphasizing a single vineyard or varietal purity, Phelps sought to blend the finest lots of the vintage into one flagship wine. What many consumers may not realize is how little estate Cabernet Sauvignon existed in those early years. 1974 was the first vintage of Insignia, current winemaker Ryan Noth explained during a recent tasting of vintages going back to 1976. In the 1970s, there was almost no Cabernet Sauvignon planted on the home ranch. It was all outsourced. The shift to more Cabernet Sauvignon in Napa Valley happened in the 1980s. This reveals how fluid Napa Valley's identity still was. Joseph Phelps was built through blending, sourcing, experimentation, and adaptation. The mythology of Napa's great estates often obscures how entrepreneurial and improvisational the valley truly was during its formative decades. Cabernet Franc, notably, played an important role from the beginning. In the early years, Johannesburg Riesling and Pinot Noir were mainly planted on the home ranch, as well as some Cabernet Franc, Knoth said. In 1978, the Cabernet Franc in Insignia came from the home ranch. We're currently planting more Cabernet Franc here. We had some back in the 1970s and then took it out. That renewed interest in Cabernet Franc says something larger about Napa Valley's stylistic evolution. Across the valley, producers are increasingly searching for aromatic lift, freshness, and structural nuance, rather than sheer density and power. Joseph Phelps appears to be leaning into that transition. The estate's most iconic single vineyard wine, meanwhile, emerged from one of Oakville's most coveted parcels, Bacchus Vineyard. Surrounded by elite neighbors, including Screaming Eagle and Dalla Valle Vineyards, Bacchus Vineyard occupies prime terrain along the eastern side of the Silverado Trail. Joseph Phelps first leased the site in the 1970s before eventually purchasing it outright. Bacchus Vineyard was planted by David Bacchus around 1973, Noth said. He only ever sold the fruit to Phelps. Today, the vineyard remains one of Napa Valley's benchmark Cabernet Sauvignon sites, known for wines that combine Oakville opulence with a distinctly iron-rich, red-clay tension. Joseph Phelps's current story is not simply one of legacy prestige. It is increasingly about adaptation to climate pressure, disease pressure, and changing consumer tastes. The estate now farms 425 vineyard acres across Napa Valley and owns roughly 650 acres on the home ranch alone. But much of that land is undergoing major restructuring due to red blotch disease. "We were hit hard by red blotch, so a lot has been removed," David Pearson, the estate's Maison president, explained. "Much is fallow now. We're balancing the replanting for production versus market." That candor is notable in Napa Valley, where producers often prefer to project an illusion of seamless perfection rather than discuss vineyard reality. Pearson described a broader agroecological rethink underway at the estate. "We needed a clean slate for the affected red blotch areas," he said. "That meant removing the inoculum species, which is native. Currently, we are working with selected cover crops and deeper rooting systems. We are looking to increase our biodiversity by interplanting our vineyards with trees." This reflects a wider shift happening across Napa Valley. After decades of maximizing ripeness, vineyard uniformity, and production efficiency, many estates are now confronting the biological fragility of monoculture farming in a warming climate. At the same time, Joseph Phelps is recalibrating stylistically in the cellar. "We are backing off on the toast and the time in barrel," Noth said. "We are trying to showcase the fruit more. Insignia used to spend 24 months in barrel, and now it is 20 months. That is more significant than it may initially sound. Napa Valley's luxury Cabernet movement during the 1990s and early 2000s often involved heavy extraction, pushing the boundaries of ripeness and lavish oak signatures. A retreat from that model, particularly at an estate as historically influential as Joseph Phelps, signals where the upper end of Napa is heading. Noth's comments about the 2023 vintage reinforce that shift toward freshness and earlier picking decisions. 2023 was challenging because it was super late, he said. I kept tasting fruit and waiting, because the tannins weren't ripe until late September. But he also acknowledged a change in philosophy within the winery. "We're picking earlier because we want that freshness and brightness, but you're taking a greater risk," Noth said. Ashley Hepworth, Noth's predecessor, was a great winemaker, but she liked to pick later. That subtle contrast between eras may define the next chapter of Joseph Phelps. Under longtime winemaker Ashley Hepworth, the wines often embodied the polished richness associated with premium Napa Cabernet during the 2000s and 2010s. Noth's approach appears more tension-driven and site-conscious. Even Insignia itself is evolving. The 2023 vintage includes fruit from Bacchus Vineyard for the first time, about 8%, according to Noth. The wine is no longer simply a monument to scale and power. It is increasingly being positioned as a more dynamic expression of vineyard diversity and freshness. That evolution comes under the watch of a global luxury conglomerate. Joseph Phelps joined the Moët Hennessy portfolio in 2022, placing the Napa estate alongside icons spanning Champagne, Burgundy, and luxury spirits. Corporate ownership inevitably raises questions in Napa Valley about authenticity, homogenization, and luxury branding. But it also provides enormous financial stability at a moment when vineyard redevelopment, climate adaptation, and declining wine consumption are pressuring even elite estates. The challenge for Joseph Phelps now is not maintaining prestige. That is already established. The challenge is remaining culturally and stylistically relevant in a changing Napa Valley.